You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
Technobite with Aki Anastasio.
But before that, Aki, will you please put the watch down? What are you looking at?
No, I'm just testing it out. Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very, very well, thanks. And nice to see you in so early in the morning.
Stop it. Thank you. So we're talking about the Huawei Smartwatch 2.
It's a Huawei.
Huawei.
I mean, where does he get the pronunciations from? It's Huawei. Anyway, look, here it is, Stephen. I'm going to put it in your hand.
It's a nice watch, yes.
There's a plethora of these smartwatches. This one runs Android, and everyone's trying to outdo each other and, you know, get, you know, a new differentiation in the smartwatch business.
Okay, so it's a digital watch pretending to be analog.
Correct.
Things have moved on since the 1980s.
They have moved on, but the difference with this one is that it's got a heart rate monitor built into it. Many of them do, but you ask, well, what does this one do different? Well, it's got a built-in SIM card, which is the differentiator. So when you get onto your bike or you run, you don't need to pair it with your phone. So you don't have to take your phone with to go for a run or whatever the case may be. So it's got that built in, and you can actually track your run on a map that appears on the face of the watch.
So do you need to put in a heart rate monitor, or does it do it from your wrist?
No, it picks it up from your wrist and it reads your levels. And
why have you got the time set wrong?
No,
it's quarter past eight.
I know.
Honestly.
It picks up, it can provide your VO2 max, which is one of the metrics that you do when you're training. It's a formula that does your heart rate and how much you work out to predict your maximum how far you can push
yourself
and
how
well
you're
training. You can actually make calls on it, and you can receive SMSs, and you can do all those kind of things because it has got that SIM card. It's got that live GPS tracking, and it's got a high resolution display. You know, it's not the perfect watch by no means. I don't think anybody has built the perfect watch yet. But I think they've gone a long way by putting in that GPS SIM card inside it that allows you to basically not need your phone, and the live mapping and all that kind of features that it has. So I think that's pretty cool. The battery life's pretty decent. But as you said, you know, it's clunky in a sense that of how big it is. But I think what they've done is Huawei's been quite clever. They've got different face watches, as many of them do. Because if you didn't know it was a digital face and you looked at it from a distance, you wouldn't say it's a digital face, right? So I think it's for those kind of people who enjoy gym. If you're a serious gym enthusiast, I wouldn't say it's for you. If you're like a professional athlete, it's not for you. But it's even got stuff to help you work out, tells you what to do, etc. So it's got specific workouts around it. But you can see that's where the world is going with these smartwatches. I mean, they're getting more and more sophisticated with time.
Michael Kitt, yes.
Well, you see, he had it a long time ago. But I think it's going to be a matter of time before they start reading your blood pressure, for example, and other medical metrics. Then they become really useful.
No, it's interesting. I mean, and the market really has taken off. You've got a thing about a smoke detector for noise. Is this saying if it's too loud?
So there's a guy that had an Airbnb, and he got a lot of complaints from the body corporate saying that there were too much noise. People were having parties and everything. And he got, you know, he got the fines and everything. And if you know, if you're renting a property, your tenants will basically make you or break you, and your reputation included. So what this guy did was he thought, well, I'm going to do something about this. And what he's designed a monitor that monitors noise. And you're quite right. It's like a smoke detector, but for noise. And it's called Noise Aware. And this tiny piece of technology basically sits inside a home. Okay, and it monitors just noise, level of decibels. And when it gets over the level that you've set it at, it will send you an SMS, and then you can phone the guys and
say, doesn't set off a siren.
I'm sure that's the next step, you know, like, or disconnect the Wi-Fi that's streaming the music. But it's basically a smoke detector for noise. And if you exceed the threshold, you'll get notified by an SMS. And you can guess, you can use an app as well, and you can get your historical noise data that comes through
your
as well.
Historical noise data.
I mean, listen, somebody's coming up with these things, and they're coming up with something new every single day. But I think that there's a market for that kind of thing. You know, if you have quite a few properties and you're concerned about noise levels, you just put that thing in and you sort it out.
Is it expensive?
Well, it's about $200, I think.
Do you know what's going to come next? So someone creates this. Now there's going to be an app on how to do a workaround for your landlord's noise device, your noise detector.
I'm sure there will be.
So, because you could probably use white noise or anti-noise or something.
Or just put a box over it.
Or you could do that. A pillow.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, that'll muffle any sound. But the thing is that the people are being creative. And here's the interesting thing. It's an economy. It's a new economy. A product like this didn't exist 5 years ago. Yeah. Somebody's created it. And they've already had a bit of a success story. Mm. And, you know, I'm sure that, and interestingly enough, you talk about the muffle. This has got a built-in anti-muffle system, by the way.
Right.
So if you muffle it, the decibels bounce back or something, and it knows that you're trying to gypo the system, whatever you want to call it.
And then you want to talk about Instagram and depression.
Yes, well, this is a very interesting one. They've done some research recently, and this new research is showing that people with a history of depression share more photographs, use fewer filters, and they post more images that are darker and gray in color.
They post more photographs.
More photographs that are gray and darker in color.
Mm.
So it's quite interesting, and they've basically done this analysis in the U.S. And
so what color was your Instagram on Tuesday?
No, mine's very bright. I choose very bright colors, so that's the first thing I checked. Mm. But people who have dark colors and use gray and don't use certain filters, they've actually worked out through big data and analytics. This is the EPJ data center in the U.S. They've worked out that, you know, this is how they're using this technology to screen people for mental illnesses, and it's quite interesting with depression. How many different things? I mean, even Facebook now has an algorithm that, based on the posts that you make and how you write, they can pick up your levels of depression. Because I don't know what it is. If you do suffer from depression, you have a certain way of giving out things and a certain way of talking and sending messages. And they're saying that it's no different with photographs. And in particular, you know, if you're using photographs in Instagram, they can now pick up. If you use darker or gray photographs, you suffer from depression.
But what about goth Instagram? I mean, where's the app for goth Instagram? Instagram is a thing.
I'm sure there is. But, you know, they're saying that the people, if you use the Valencia filter, which is one that I use quite frequently.
Okay, what's the Valencia filter? It's the Valencia kind of car.
No, it's a city in Spain. But
you had me for a second. What are you talking
Valencia.
About?
No, look, you get different filters on Instagram. You don't use Instagram, but you get different filters to enhance the photograph.
I know.
But Valencia is one of them, and they're saying that the people that used Valencia were pretty healthy users, and they said that. Here's an interesting one as well. Depressed users were more likely to post photos with faces, but compared to healthier users, those photos contained fewer faces per image. Which I find quite interesting. There's a lot of interesting stuff and research that's going on and around depression. Mm.
So, Aki, when you came, you gave me the Huawei watch and it was on the wrong time, and I put it on my wrist and it instantly went to the right time.
Yes.
I don't know what that tells us.
Well, it tells you. It tells you that my clock is not synced.
It may be ticking.
It may be ticking, but the arms aren't working.
Aki Anastasio, twice a day, he's right.